It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Access of Easy. This is the latest and greatest in data breaching and overreaching. And it's our second take. My name is Joey. That's Len in the other panel. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. I just took a look at the price of Bitcoin, Joey. Our prices are off by $10. Not sure if you noticed that. It's funny. Anyways, Bitcoin's pretty stable in terms of price. Yeah, everything is good, Joey. Tomorrow, golfing. Actually, nice. Next few Fridays, I'm going to be golfing. I think I'm finally going to wrap things up on a high. How about you, Joey?
I'm golfing next Friday as well, actually, at Lowville.
You have to use a cart over there.
100%, I'm using the cart. I told you, I don't walk and golf. It's not what I'm about.
No, a lot of courses you can, but Lowville is not one that you want to.
Yeah, I'm not going to for sure. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't golfed. I'm going to golf with my buddies there, my longtime pals. So it should be a fun night, or a fun day, I should say. And it'll be, like you said, probably the last, you know, one of the last nice weekends for sure, if we get a nice weekend next weekend. Thanksgiving up here in Canada for you American listeners. Americans could be celebrating Amazon Prime Day next week. Are you going to be celebrating Amazon Prime Day?
God, there's nothing I need to buy. I got to a point where I'm good.
You're in Zen mode over there.
Yeah, I normally am. And generally, it's not a need. It's not a want, it's a need when I have to buy something like wipers for the car, for instance, like when just something like that. I don't need it. Sorry, I don't want it. I need it. That's the reality.
But no, it's good.
I have everything I want. Everything. I'm at that point. I'm old enough.
Last week's quote of the week. Let me grab it here. You will become as small as your controlling desire, as great as your dominant aspiration. That was by James Allen. No one got it. I think that's the second week in a row we didn't have a winner, if my memory serves me correctly. This week's quote, you become uncancelable as long as you don't accept that you can be canceled. Who is that by? I have a guess. I don't know if it's right. I'm not going to say it. If you know the answer, you can put it in the comments. No searching, no Googling, okay? Do not pervert the process, and you get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS. Not bad, man. Not bad. So then we got... five stories plus a late ad from Mark and Joan on yet another bank issue. So where do you want to start?
Yeah, this new hijacking that's going to be this session hijacking. It's interesting stuff. I never heard of this before, but it's a new way that attackers are trying to bypass the multi-factor authentication, the MFA. The technique called session jacking 2.0. It involves stealing a user's session cookie and using it to resume a user's session on the attacker's device. And this type of attack could be difficult to detect and also block because it appears to be a legitimate user that's logging in. So yeah, there's different methods that the attackers could use to steal the cookies, such as phishing toolkits and info stealers. So the phishing toolkits are used to trick users into entering their login credentials and a fake website. It looks like the real one. And this all just goes back to people out there. You got to be very careful with what you're clicking online.
Click on everything.
Yeah. I mean, and also people out there that are running websites, you may want to consider hooking up with EasyDNS and taking advantage of the domain share, because then you could see that are other websites that may try to appear to be legitimate that are faking what it looks like you're trying to do. So this might be one way to help drive down the amount of attackers that are coming to your website, or people that are getting hacked, looks like, through your website. So yeah, check them out. DomainSure is one of the products being offered by EasyDNS. But again, like, just don't go clicking willy-nilly when you're out there. If you get an email or a link from a friend in a chat, be careful. Take a look at it. Inspect it a little bit more in depth. And you could see sometimes just almost, you know, Microsoft with two S's, three S's, and you can just, something just doesn't look right. And you can just say, no, this is not the right thing to click, and I'm not going to give my information up. Only do it at the correct website. Don't give it up willy-nilly. That's just the only thing I would say.
Pretty crazy that we're starting to see a bit of a trend, at least on the show, in the vulnerabilities showing up thanks to cloud-based apps and web apps and stuff like that. This is another example of that. You know, as more of these things are relying on, you know, external infrastructure, let's say, that's probably not the right term, but I think everyone listening to this show gets my gist. The vulnerabilities seem to be multiplying, do they not? And mm-hmm. and your own sort of set of protective hardware, software, infrastructure, again, it's no longer enough, is it? You know, it's kind of, you're kind of at the mercy of these other sort of links in the chain. And the weakest link is where you're going to find problems. Stealing cookies was something we talked about, I think, almost a year ago on a similar sort of story where they basically replicate a session and then can use that cookie to grab some stuff that they shouldn't have access to, passwords, whatnot. So yeah, interesting all the same. Domain Sure is the place that you can probably get a lot of this looked at. And, you know, I kind of half think, Len, that, you know, it's worth having someone like Mark. Obviously, this is an easy DNS show, but it's worth having someone like Mark in your corner regardless, because not only are you going to know about the attacks, but there's probably ways to get around these things or protect yourself that you and I, you know, it's above our pay grade. I suspect that's probably the case. And again, like, you know, it seems like every week we could end each story this way, but man, just suspect apps, suspect websites. A lot of the browsers do a pretty good job protecting you from things like this for the average person, I think, but it's a cat and mouse game. The attacks get more sophisticated and the browsers, you know, maybe specifically the Microsoft one and the Apple one, don't necessarily keep up. So you got to be aware, because if you're not aware, then you're a target for sure.
So what browser would you recommend?
I don't know. Like Brave, maybe? Brave update a lot? Like, what about the Linux ones? How are the Linux browsers there?
Brave is on Linux. I use Firefox.
Firefox, yeah.
It seems to be okay for the most
Firefox
part.
Is getting heavier and heavier in terms of CPU demand, but it is still widely regarded as like one of the better privacy-focused ones.
Yeah. My computer is pretty beefy, but it handles it okay.
Good.
ChatGPT, though. Some people might be seeing what's going on there. There's a memory flaw, and researchers uncovered a critical vulnerability in the long-term conversation memory tool. So people are chatting with ChatGPT, talking about whatever the heck they want to chat with. So this vulnerability allows malicious actors to manipulate the chatbot's memory and implant false information, potentially leading to serious consequences. And so this researcher named Johan Rayberg, hopefully I pronounced it right, he discovered this memory feature, the vulnerability in it, and allows the AI to remember previous conversations. And this feature was released back in February in beta and publicly released in September. But however, this guy was able to easily trick it into storing false information. So by uploading a file with incorrect details, he was able to convince ChatGPT he was over 100 years old and it lived in the Matrix. And OpenAI dismissed his concerns as a quote-unquote model safety issue. And yeah, it just goes to this is just a proof of concept still right now. And it's still a lot that has to be done with ChatGPT to make it worthwhile to be used in multiple settings, but also in terms of not tricking it. But I just have to say that OpenAI, a lot of people are using it to write stuff. A lot of people are using it to do, what is it, web articles or articles for their website. People are even saying that Craig Stephen Wright was using it to create the code after the fact, right? And it's just a lot of things. It's interesting to see what things can be done with it. But on the flip side, though, just be careful with what you put on there, because information like this, anything you put on there, it could be saved there for potentially to be used later on. So there was a patch that mitigates the data theft, but really, it's still a honeypot. That's what it's turning into. As more and more people chat with it, give insight into who they are, what they believe in, what like ideas they have, somebody's going to be attacking this and getting access to this information and getting information on you. And just be very careful. If you're going to do it, make a fake account or something.
If you're using ChatGPT and it's this easy to inject false memories and false chat history, you know, the other way you could use this is target somebody of influence and say, look, this looks an awful lot like you were talking to ChatGPT about, Holocaust denialism, or, you know, it looks like here you were trying to plan an attack on a U.S. Government building using ChatGPT. And even if you weren't, the false memories implanted will make it look like you did. And by the sounds of it, all it took was a little creativity and a bullet point Microsoft Office document file. So nothing, you know, that's like, you know, every guy's got that stuff in their toolbox. The question is, can you execute the attack? I don't know. The exact details are a little trickier, but the point is that everyone is using ChatGPT. ChatGPT just pulled down a nearly $200 billion valuation on private markets. I think semi-open markets was like their first raise in a while. But does that sound like $175 billion to you? Like everyone's using this thing and drawing, you know, election pictures of Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, you know, romanticizing each other. But this is what's actually possible behind the scenes for a competent actor. A nefarious actor. I, again, man, you and me are pretty good about this, and we agree, I think, 100%. Just stay away from this thing, these things, like the language models. Every week we have a story here about these other companies leaking data you didn't think was for the language model. So you're going to lose that data, and you're going to give it more on your own, like by your own. It doesn't make sense to me to do this. Just stay away, steer clear. You don't.
There
need
are
to do
uses
stuff.
For it, though. If you want to. Like if you're learning a new language, for instance, and that's a good way to converse with a model. It may not be perfect, but it helps you get more experience with it.
Get Duolingo. You know, like okay. Duolingo doesn't...
Does it do conversation? Like you could chat with it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You could do all that stuff in Duo Max. There's like many options there now because they use some AI as well. Now, the question, I guess, the natural next question would be, are how many months away How many months away are we from a story where Duolingo is leaking customer data to train other models? I don't know, right? You may not be that far away from that story either. But all the same, man, like I remain steadfast in my view that short of, you know, making some pictures to laugh with your friends in a group chat, these things they're more trouble than they're worth. Mm-hmm.
PayPal, they're doing something sneaky because they've been enrolling its users in a program that shares personal data with third-party companies. I'm not sure if you have a PayPal account, Joya. I don't.
Yeah, I do.
So that you maybe want to update your account settings based on what we hear here. And the stated purpose of this data sharing is to provide users with a more personalized shopping experience. Thank you very much for that. And of course, many of the users are pissed off and they're frustrated at the fact that the privacy settings have changed without their explicit.
I got to ask you that. Listen, we don't have to talk anymore about the story. That's the gist of the story. Mm-hmm. Is this fair or foul to you?
That they just simply clicked something without you knowing, without even asking you and taking that information?
But that's not exactly what happened. That's not exactly what happened. They did tell you that they were going to personalize the experience for you. And that language, that's not the first time any modern internet user should have seen that language.
They should say, do you want to have your experience personalized? Yes or no? Rather than it's going to. And then it's up to you to go ahead and check that off. So they should just immediately say, it's going to happen. This is it. Do you want it to happen? Yes or no?
I don't think
if they did that, I would have less problems with it. The way they, I just don't like the rollout. It kind of seems sneaky. I know that
it is sneaky for sure. But like, this is not precedent setting by any means.
No, a lot of things are not precedent setting, but it's still just because it's not pushing the envelope doesn't mean it's not bad. We're just more accepting of it at that point. I wouldn't want to be more accepting of trash. We got to be holding them accountable for their actions.
I actually just realized there's a comment section on this. And the last comment that I see here. So PayPal is just doing what every credit company has done forever. It seems to be what to expect from a payment company when they want to squeeze more money. All personalized shopping has ever done for me is after I buy a backpack or mechanical keyboard, headphones, or shoe goo, they try to sell me the same product under a different brand. Total garbage. That's actually true most of the time. I am perpetually confused by how they can even claim to provide a personalized experience for the buyer. So this guy's almost on the same page as me. I thought he'd be closer, but I don't know. Like the other thing too is PayPal does say, and every company says, and the story notes this as well, that PayPal told you their TOS was being updated. And you know, you're laughing, but really like what do you want them to do? Like what level of handholding should they do?
I just want right away, you log in And there's going to be a tick box saying, do you want your experience personalized? Yes or no? If yes, this is going to be the repercussions of that. If no, these are going to be repercussions of it, and that's that. Just give the user an immediate choice rather than giving you that 100-page long TOS. Nobody reads through it. They just say, I agree. Everybody does it, right? It's so they're doing legally what they're supposed to do, but sometimes there's stuff that goes beyond the legal requirements. And I just want to see these companies do a little bit more to respect our privacy. They're not.
Don't hold your breath. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to. Well, it's, I want to move on because this next story is really funny, I find.
Which one? They're all the, three left. All three that are left are pretty good.
The Sniper DZ one. What a name. I actually like it. I don't know why. It just seems pretty funny. But it's a phishing as a service platform.
And I love that. I absolutely love that there's something out there you can
sign up for. And it gets better too, Joey, because it's giving these malicious actors the ability to steal people's credentials. And some 140,000 phishing websites, 140,000 have been linked to this platform. So this is the funny thing. The cost for running this is free because people could either do these phishing pages on the Sniper DZ owned infrastructure or download the Sniper DZ phishing template and host it on your own server. So the cost is free. But since nothing is free, the user has to be the product here, right? They're doing all the work. They're taking all the legal responsibility, and that information is probably being sent home to the mothership, and they're collecting information. The people using the service as a platform are the ones risking their neck, and the people behind all this is collecting information and letting somebody else take the fall. You know what? It's crap like this. You got to be, nothing is free. Just do some research, figure out what's going on. I'm pretty sure this information is being siphoned, and somebody else is getting all the rewards while somebody is risking their neck running this program. But another all more reason you got to run, if you are a website owner, certainly link up with EasyDNS, domain sure, because these phishing websites, you don't want to be subjected to it. You don't want to be associated with it. You want to be clean. Yeah. That's one way to do so with the EasyDNS domain sure program.
How about the Telegram channel with over 7,000 subs as of a couple of days ago? Like, what are we talking about here? I can't believe this. We did talk about phishing as a service before, but I didn't realize it was this widespread. Another quote from the article that made me laugh. A video uploaded to Vimeo in January 2021 shows that the service offers ready-to-use scam templates for various online sites like X, Facebook, Instagram, Skype, Yahoo, Netflix, Steam, Snapchat, PayPal in English, Arabic, and French languages. The video has more than 67,000 views to date. You can't put up information about vaccines.
Ben.
But this has no 70,000 views. Like, what is going on over there, man? I as soon as I read that, I just fell into my chair. Like, wait a minute. This can't be legit. But yeah, it's there. Hacker News also identified tutorial videos uploaded to YouTube that take viewers through the different steps required to download templates from Sniper DZ and set up fake landing pages for PUBG, which is Players Underground Battleground, I think something like that, I forget, and Free Fire on legitimate platforms like Google Blogger. What? It's on YouTube, and it's about a Google platform. But if you say anything about heart issues in young men, banned, demonetized. So let's recap. Things that are allowed on YouTube. This is not a censorship story, but we have to talk about this. Things that are allowed on YouTube. AI Elon Musk asking you to send 10 ETH and get 20 back. AI Mike Saylor asking you to send 1 BTC and get 2 back. Information about how to use Google to scam people. Information on how to download templates and set up fake landing pages for popular games. Okay, now let's get off that and go to things that are not allowed on YouTube. Saying that being fat being fat's not actually a social construct. You just have too many calories in, not enough calories out.
Just be careful with what you say because it's.
I'm done. That's all I'm going to say. But you could the next thing you could guess what the next thing is. Okay, the next thing could be any number of things. The medication is only one example. I was actually going to use another more relevant you know, real today, modern day example. But you know, we don't have to. You can guess what the next thing is. These platforms will not protect you. And so again, domain sure, yes, talk to Mark, talk to DNS. But the other thing is, you cannot trust anything that you see on the internet anymore unless you are certain that it's a page you frequent, a page you need, a page you know. Everyone else is trying to scam you. And you know, this whole show every week is basically about people trying to scam you, more or less. You do the math on that. We've been doing this show every week for more than a year. The scams are not getting less complex. They're getting more complex. The next two stories are, or the next story
about the... funny.
It's great. Let's go to it. Let's go to it.
Rhadamanthus, I hope I pronounced that correctly. It's quite a problem for some folks out there. It's malware that uses AI for character recognition. And why is this a problem for some folks? Well, some people are taking photos of their private keys as a way to store that information. So what are private keys? If you are into anything with Bitcoin or anything related to that, how your information, how your Bitcoin or other things are stored into your wallet is by those keys, some specific words in a particular order. And some people, rather than just writing it down and securing it on like a metal plates or whatever, they're taking pictures of it and it's going on their iCloud or Google Photos or whatever. And this malware, it trolls this treasure trove of pictures, trying to find character recognition that may look like keys. And once it finds it, well, it uses that to steal the money in the wallet. So people are learning the hard way on how not to secure their private keys. And I would suggest people, if you really want to do this, there are lots of different options out there that are much more secure. I mentioned one, you could use metal plates to secure it, and that way make no camera that's in the room. So it's done in a way that there's no way it could be stolen. There are air-gapped options. So when you eventually start to use your device to sign it, to sign a transaction, so you're actually moving your Bitcoin or whatever, it's all done air-gapped. It's never connected to a computer. There's no way that it could be stolen unless you give it up forcibly. So there's lots of different ways. These guys just taking pictures of their keys and storing it online, that is a huge no-no. But this thing, this Rhadamanthus, it's a malware as a service, and it's sold as a subscription. I'm not sure if you saw it, for $250 per month.
Cheap.
So quite a bit of, so people are making bank on this in both ways. And the people that are supplying this malware as a service, but also people that are probably using this and finding people that just stored crap. Because it just takes probably one or two wallets to more than make up that $250 a month. And if you find, you know, one wallet a month, or heck, maybe just one wallet could be more than enough to, you could just go on a really big trip. People out there, if you're going to do this, if you're going to get in this world, learn to do it right. There's lots of tutorials. Check them out. Do it air gap. Never, ever have a camera or any computer nearby when you're setting it up. Metal plates, good place to do it, or a good way to do it. Don't just take a picture. That's the wrong way.
There's nothing for me to add for that. Taking a picture of your seed phrase? Like, come on.
I have to admit, the first time I've done that, like when I had my ledger, I did that. That's the way I did it.
I'm surprised to hear that.
But over time I realized, no, this is not. So I ended up creating a new account. And so like I can understand, it's just so easy to take a picture, but there's a lot of information out there as to why you don't want to. And it's up to people. The onus is on you. That's the beauty of all this.
It is. But as like, even like for people who are thinking, I don't have that much Bitcoin, which is another common thing people think. I don't have that much Bitcoin. I don't need to worry about this. You do, because the price of Bitcoin's like, it's only going up, okay, over time here. And the people who are stealing your Bitcoin are not going to skip you because it's only $20 or $200 or $2,000 or $20,000. They're not going to pass. They're not going to wait until it's worth more. They're going to get you now, and they're going to ride that wave. Oh, God, Len, I can't believe it. It's insane to me that people are still somehow doing this. And to your point, if you did do it in the past, like find the picture, delete the picture, whatever, you know, or start a new wallet. You can spin up a wallet for free, right? It's the entropy is such that no two Bitcoin wallets are going to be the same. You get the 24 words, you're good. So, you know, It's it's like the first, if you Google starting up a Bitcoin wallet, every guide will tell you not to take a picture of it. Every single guide.
Curious. Start up Bitcoin wallet.
Gotta be, right?
How to create a Bitcoin wallet from Bitcoin.com. That's the one from...
That's Roger Ver's site, isn't
it? I'm just going to say that. He's a lot... We haven't heard from that guy. I don't want to make this too much about Bitcoin, but remember he was arrested? That's the last I heard of him.
He's I think, not
activated anymore.
Yeah, he's not in custody, though.
Okay. I don't even know where he was.
Is he out? I thought he was overseas.
He renounced his U.S. citizenship.
That's right. And he thought he could just not pay taxes thanks to that. That's the dream.
So Bank of America, let's talk about some nightmares for
people. Should we do the breaking news?
Well, at this point, it's not really breaking news. It's 24 hours, more than 24 hours old, because on October 2nd, there was a bunch of Bank of America users that were experiencing a widespread outage, and they were not able to access their accounts. And some customers were even reporting their balances as incorrectly showing as $0. Maybe that's what truly is in there, because fractional reserve gives the bank the ability just to move around funds however they wish. They don't have the funds to make everybody whole. Either way, this happened around noon Eastern yesterday. And the Bank of America acknowledged the issue and stated that whatever was being done was being addressed. And so it's unclear at this particular moment what caused it, because they haven't released that information, at least last I checked. And people out there, they were pissed because that is their money. And they were trying to get access to it to pay bills or buy groceries or whatever the heck they were trying to do. That is your money. You work for it. And you gave it to the bank for them to hold on to it. What do? They screwed it up. However they've done it, they screwed it up. It just goes to show you why people like Joey and myself, we Bitcoin, because the Bitcoin network has been running steadily for well over a decade with no downtime whatsoever. And he and I and any other Bitcoiner can simply move our Bitcoin anywhere we want without any fuss. And it just does that. Bitcoin belongs to us, not to the bank. We could do whatever we want with the Bitcoin. We don't have to ask anybody for permission. Stories like this, I look at this and I'm like, Joey, I see it. I'm just amazed why we still live and deal with this antiquated system. Is that what it is? You give them your money and they do whatever they want with it? That's pathetic.
Yeah.
And you're only insured up to $250,000 in the United States? Who's backing that? Everybody's backing that, which That's is right. great. Like every time they have to make people whole, it reduces the value of everybody else's, because they have to somehow create more currency, and that expands the money supply. And I'll leave it at that, Joey.
Pretty jokes here. Couple things. This is like this is a perfect illustration of what you're talking about, and what we've talked about before, actually, with like other systems, you know, in the same vein, you know, kin failures. Here's a quote. "These issues are being addressed and have largely been resolved," Bank of America said. "We apologize for the inconvenience." Bank of America declined to specify what caused the problem. It's not clear when all systems will be fully back to normal. They don't know what caused it. They don't know when it's going to be fixed, but they're very sorry. Another notable quote here from the bottom. "Shows my debt just fine, though."
That's incredible.
So great.
They showed a negative. What you owe them, but what they owe you.
I understand looking at Zero Hedge's tweets that credit cards and other debt vehicles were working fine through all this. So you couldn't use your cash, but if you want to take on a little more debt, no problem. We got you covered.
So let's play this out, a real life scenario. Your domain name is up for renewal. You want to pay it.
Yeah.
They accept fiat and Bitcoin, by the way. So you want to pay, but you know they're not your Bank of America account. They're just not working. It's like your account, what you've been holding, everything you've been working is now, you know, it's not renewed. Somebody else gets it, squats in it. You have to pay big money to get it back. No, man, just pay it with your Bitcoin. Mark and team, they accept it, and you're good to go. So your domain name is going to be secured, no problem. Because why? They have the ability to accept Bitcoin, and you have the ability to pay with Bitcoin, and that stuff never goes down.
It's really all it takes, man. You know, welcome to the future. That was Axis of Easy. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for tuning in. Tell a friend, tell your mechanic about the show. And till next time, we'll just be here waiting for more hacks and more failures from the general public with no
repercussion. I'm going to take pictures of my keys. That's what I'm going to do.
With no repercussion for any of the companies involved. Don't do anything we wouldn't do. We'll see you next Thursday, next Friday.
See you later.